The echoes from the blessed life. When grace evolved, a path so divine. Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The echoes from the blessed life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome to another episode of The Echoes from the Blessed Life. In this program, in this series of programs, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we've been learning about the blessed events that took place prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What happened at the time of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, life before the proclamation, meaning the announcement of prophethood, and then what happened after announcing the prophethood. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, today we'll talk about the blessed migration. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam migrate from Makkah to Medina? What were the scenarios? What happened? And what were the blessed events during the migration? Inshallah Azza wa Jal. But before we proceed any further, let's listen to the blessing of Durud-e Pak, the final prophet of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever, when being presented in the court of Allah, would like for Allah to be pleased with him, let him send durood upon me in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As usual, inshallah al-kareem, we'll listen to the glorious verses of the Holy Quran followed by naat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and then we'll begin our conversation. Inshallah azza wa jal.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين هاجروا في الله من بعد ما ظلموا لنبوئنهم في الدنيا حسنة ولأجر الآخرة أكبر لو كانوا يعلمون الذين صبروا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون وما أرسلنا من قبلك إلا رجالا نوحي إليهم فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم.
Subhanallah, mashallah. My dear viewers of Madani channel, we heard verse number 41, 42 and 43 of Surah An-Nahl. Now inshallah al-kareem, we'll listen to the translation of Holy Quran, Kanzul Iman. And to those who left their homes and families in Allah's cause, having been oppressed, we shall definitely give them a good place in the world. And the reward of the hereafter is indeed extremely great, had somehow people known. They are those who were patient and who rely upon their Lord only. And we did not send before you except men as prophets, towards whom we would send revelations. So, O people, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah al-kareem, will now listen to the glorious naat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله مجھے مدینے کی دو اجازت نبی رحمت شفیع امت پلا بلوا کی جام الفت نبی رحمت شفیع امت اگر
شفیع امت مجھے مدینہ
Subhanallah, mashaAllah. A beautiful kalam of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant long life to Amir Ahl Sunnat. He is an individual and a visionary individual who made the vision of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala a reality. And alhamdulillah, we're very, very fortunate to be in the era where Amir Ahl Sunnat, alhamdulillah, is teaching us a lot of sunnahs, a lot of Islamic knowledge through Madani Muzakara and through other programs of Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah. As discussed earlier, we'll be talking about the blessed migration and the reasons why Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Medina. Before we talk about the migration and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Medina, of course, Medina has to be a safe place to be migrated. How did Madinatul Munawwara become to be a safe place for Muslims to be migrated?
As your question suggests, there were many such events. There's a whole series of events, actually, that led up to the migration to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. But before we get into that, it's first important to know what was going on in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara at that time. First and foremost, at that time, the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara was not yet known as Medina. It had a name before that as well, and it was known by that name at that time.
What was that name?
The name of the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara before it became known as Madinatul Munawwara was Yathrib. And then after our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had migrated, then it became known as Madinatul Nabi.
Subhanallah, Madinatul Nabi, subhanallah.
Yes, the city of the beloved Prophet. Yes, alhamdulillah. So in this city, at that time, there were two tribes of the Arabs, the Aus and the Khazraj. Apart from these two tribes, there was a small community of the descendants of the Bani Israel. The Aus and the Khazraj, the people that belonged to these two tribes, they were idol worshippers, just as the disbelievers of Mecca. So they worshipped idols, but the descendants of the Bani Israel, they were people of the book. And because they had the knowledge of the book, and they were the people of the book, they also knew of the coming of the final prophet of Allah Almighty. And they were aware of the fact that the final prophet of Allah Almighty will come to this land, the land that they were now living in. They knew that the beloved prophet, the last and final messenger of Allah Almighty, would migrate to this land. And they were awaiting the arrival of the beloved prophet in the land. And every once in a while, when there would be a disagreement between those descendants of Bani Israel and the two tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj, these people, they would threaten the Aus and the Khazraj by saying that eventually the final prophet of Allah, the final messenger of Allah Almighty, will come and we will join his army and we will destroy you. We will destroy your tribes once the final prophet comes and we join his army. So, despite being idol worshippers, this thought, the knowledge that the final prophet of Allah will come, he will migrate to this land, this was already embedded into the minds of the people of the Aus and the Khazraj. And even though they worshipped idols at that time, but in their hearts they were already awaiting the arrival of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now in the 11th year after the declaration of prophethood, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Mina in order to invite the tribes who had come for Hajj to Islam. Now in Mina there's a ravine, and it's the place where now there is Masjid Aqaba, in that place in Mina. So that's where Masjid Aqaba is located today. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was at that very place when six people from the tribe of Khazraj came to him. The beloved Prophet ﷺ asked him their names and their lineages. Then he ﷺ recited verses of the Holy Quran to them and invited them to Islam. After hearing the verses of the Holy Quran, they were already impressed, and then they decided amongst themselves, they said, "This is surely the final prophet of Allah Almighty that we have been hearing about from the descendants of the Bani Israel. Therefore, let it not be the case that they embrace Islam before us." So they found the opportunity, and alhamdulillah, they took advantage of it. And as I mentioned earlier, they already had this embedded within their hearts and minds that the final Prophet of Allah Almighty will be migrating to the blessed city of Medina. They had already learned this from the people of the book. So now they had that opportunity. And they said, let this opportunity slip, and let's not let the descendants of the Bani Israel precede us in embracing Islam. So after having come to this conclusion, they all became Muslim, all six of them, and returned back to Medina. Once they returned back to Medina, they invited their family members and relatives to Islam as well. Now in the next year, in the 12th year after the proclamation of prophethood, once again on the occasion of Hajj, this year 12 people came from Madinatul Munawwara and embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they also pledged allegiance to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the history of Islam, this pledge is known as the first pledge of Aqaba.
The first Bayt of Aqaba.
The first Baytul Aqaba, yes.
SubhanAllah. So was there a second one too?
Yes, there was a second one as well. So in this first Bayt, this first pledge of Aqaba, the 12 people who had come from the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara and had accepted Islam and pledged their allegiance to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they requested in the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to provide them with a teacher who could teach them the commandments of Islam.
Allah.
So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent with him Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Madinatul Munawwara. And once Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached Madinatul Munawwara, he would go from house to house inviting the people of Medina to Islam. And as a result of this, numerous people began embracing Islam on a daily basis.
SubhanAllah.
And this went to the extent that eventually and gradually, alhamdulillah, Islam began to spread everywhere. Sayyidina Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time was the chief of the tribe of Aus. And he also embraced Islam upon the invitation of Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umar radiallahu anhu. As soon as he embraced Islam, the entire tribe of Aus also followed their chief and became Muslim. And this was all directly the result of that first bayat, that first pledge of Aqaba. Then, as you had asked, there was a second pledge as well. A year after this, during the 13th year after the declaration of prophethood, once again on the occasion of Hajj, because that was when the people from various tribes of Arabia would come to the blessed city of Makkah, and then they would stay in Mina during the days of Hajj. In that 13th year after the proclamation of prophethood, approximately 72 people came from Madinatul Munawwara and pledged allegiance to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
SubhanAllah. How blessed are those individuals who actually accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that they are now, once they accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then from becoming an ordinary person, they became the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They became Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan. SubhanAllah.
And these 72, they not only accepted Islam, They pledged allegiance to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they promised that they would sacrifice their lives and wealth and everything of theirs for the protection of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam. This all took place during the second pledge of Aqaba. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu was also there. He had not embraced Islam yet. Approximately 72 people who had come. They said, Ya Rasulullah, please come to Medina.
SubhanAllah.
And Sayyidina Abbas then said that the beloved Prophet has many enemies, and right now the Banu Hashim, we, you know, protect the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you guys are willing to, you know, take that on and pledge your lives, then the beloved Prophet can go with you guys. Otherwise, you know, he has us, you know, we will protect the beloved Prophet. So with so many people, as we've just learned, Islam was spreading rapidly throughout the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. And with so many people embracing Islam in Madinatul Munawwara, it was as if the Muslims had found a new place of refuge. Because as we've heard in our previous episodes, that the Kuffar of Makkah, they were oppressing the Muslims to a great extent. In any way possible, they would try to oppress the Muslims so that they would give up Islam, leave Islam. But alhamdulillah, the Muslims were determined, and Allah Almighty had granted them such resolve that they were not leaving Islam. And because of that, the oppressions of the Kuffar were increasing. Now the Muslims had finally found another place where they can take refuge and be protected from the oppressions of the Kuffar. This was a fact that had been mentioned in the previously revealed scriptures. That is why the descendants of the Bani Israel, the people of the book, they knew that the final Prophet of Allah is coming. They knew that this is the land that the final Prophet of Allah Almighty will migrate to. And because of their knowledge and living amongst the Aus and Khazraj, they had also made it known to the Aus and Khazraj that this is where the final Prophet of Allah Almighty will eventually migrate to.
So what were the events? What happened? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrate to Medina? We understand now that that Medina is now a safe place for Muslim to migrate from the oppressions of the disbelievers of Makkah. But Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrated as well. What events took place that made Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrate?
So, as we know that the Prophets of Allah Almighty do not do anything other than what is commanded to them by Allah Almighty. So once it had been established, it's known that Madinatul Munawwara is a safe haven for the Muslims.
And by safe haven means a safe place for people to migrate,
yes,
right?
A place of refuge for the Muslims. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the blessed companions, the blessed Sahaba, freedom to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. And the companions, the Sahaba, they began to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, once the companions, they began migrating, obviously the Kuffar of Makkah, they found out. They came to the conclusion, or they got the idea in their mind, that if the Muslims are allowed to leave, then they will go to Medina and they will increase their efforts, and more people will eventually become Muslim and accept Islam. And then one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may return to Makkah with a large army and the leadership of the disbelievers of Makkah. Now, they began trying to prevent the Muslims from migrating. But alhamdulillah, the Muslims, the Sahaba, they continued to migrate secretly, to the extent that within a short period of time, many of the companions, many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, had migrated to the blessed city of Medina. Now, only those people were left in Makkah who were either imprisoned by the Kuffar, or they could not migrate due to poverty. And since our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also not been commanded by Allah Almighty yet. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had not yet migrated to Medina, and our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also commanded Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu to also remain behind in Makkah al-Mukarramah. It was during this time that the Kuffar of Makkah had now realized that despite all of their efforts, most of the Sahaba, most of those blessed individuals who had accepted Islam had already migrated to Medina. So now they were worried that somehow we have to prevent the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from migrating, because now they had in their heart that once the beloved Prophet goes, then he'll be able to gather an army and then return and, you know, remove us from leadership. So they began making plans to try to stop our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from migrating to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, after having felt this danger, the Kuffar of Makkah, especially their chiefs, the chiefs of the Kuffar of Makkah, the disbelievers of Makkah, they had a meeting in a place called Darun Nadwa. Now, all of their big chiefs, they were all a part of this meeting, but there was also one person who they were not familiar with, an elderly man. They asked this elderly man who he was, and he said, "I am a sheikh from Najd." This elderly man, this sheikh from Najd, he was actually Iblis, Shaitan. So all of these individuals, these chiefs of the disbelievers of Makkah, they were all giving different suggestions on how they could prevent the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there were different suggestions given. One man from amongst the disbelievers of Makkah, he said that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be imprisoned, ma'azallah, and that no one should have access to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they should imprison the beloved Prophet, and that would stop the spread of Islam and stop the beloved Prophet from migrating. Now, this was rejected, this suggestion of his was rejected by the Shaykh from Najd, which I've just mentioned was Shaitan, and he said that no, his supporters, his followers will definitely come, they'll sacrifice their lives for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they will get the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam released from imprisonment. Then another person gave the suggestion that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be exiled from Makkah, and then, you know, the spread of Islam will come to a halt, and, you know, Islam cannot bring harm to them. Because all of this, this whole council was because of their fear of what Islam was bringing. Islam was spreading, and that was a danger to their belief system, danger to their positions in society. Now, that suggestion was also, you know, rejected. And then the last suggestion was given by one of the greatest enemies of Islam, Abu Jahl. There was a suggestion given by Abu Jahl, which was accepted by everyone. And in there it says that this suggestion, like the Shaykh of Najd, Iblis, he was in love with it. He said, "Now this is the best." Obviously, Abu Jahl and Shaitan, they go hand in hand. Abu Jahl gave the suggestion, and this suggestion, it was accepted by everyone. And his suggestion was that a person, a young man from every tribe should be given a sword, and they should all attack the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ma'azallah, together, and then martyr the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when the people from all the tribes would be a part of this, then the Banu Hashim, they would not be able to retaliate. They would not be able to fight everyone. So eventually, they would be forced to accept blood money. They all agreed on this suggestion from Abu Jahl, and their meeting came to an end. Then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came with the command of Allah Almighty and informed the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of this meeting, of this incident, and said, do not sleep in your bed tonight and migrate to Madinat al-Munawwara. And it was upon this command from Allah Almighty that the blessed migration of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah to the blessed city of Madinat al-Munawwara began.
SubhanAllah. So was this migration during daytime or at nighttime?
This was during the night. The plan of these kuffar of Makkah was to attack our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was resting in his blessed bed at night. So it was at night when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began his migration to Madinatul Munawwara. So at night, the disbelievers, they surrounded the blessed house of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam according to their plan. And they began to wait for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go to sleep so that they could attack. At that time, only Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was present there. Now, although the disbelievers of Makkah, they were the enemies of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite all of this, they still had absolute trust in the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They still considered the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam Al-Amin, the trustworthy and the honest one. Yes, they had absolute trust in the trustworthiness of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the truthfulness of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the honesty of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why that despite being enemies of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would still entrust their belongings to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, Allahu Akbar, like, that's just mind-boggling that how, despite being enemies of Islam, enemies of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they still know that if we're going to trust anybody with our belongings, it is the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, as I mentioned, even at that time, many people had entrusted their belongings to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these belongings were kept at the blessed house of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, sleep in my bed and cover yourself with my shawl.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah.
After I leave, hand over all of these belongings, all of these entrustments that people have given in my trust back to their owners, and then after you've done that, then come to Madinatul Munawwara. So this was the command of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Sayyidina Ali on that night.
So another great point that here that our scholars have made is that the knowledge of unseen, the ilmul ghaib of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam knew that they would not be able to harm Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala that we will meet in Medina, subhanAllah.
Not only that, look at the trust of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu,
and bravery of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he knows that the enemies are standing outside and willing to martyr Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ma'azallah, but yet he's willing to sacrifice his life for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a fistful of soil and reciting some of the beginning verses of Surah Yasin, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw that soil, threw that dust towards the disbelievers. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed through the disbelievers and none of them even noticed
the right where the disbelievers was right there.
They had surrounded the blessed house. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was acting upon the command of Allah Almighty. And not a single one of these disbelievers saw the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's another narration of these events in which a person saw the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not one of the people who had surrounded the blessed house, but another person.
He was sitting at the far distance. He was watching all of this.
And he saw the beloved Prophet and he went and told the disbelievers, oh, what are you guys doing? They said, oh, we're waiting for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go to bed so that we can, you know, put our plan into action, their evil plan into action. And the person said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was left. He walked right by you guys. And this was Allah Almighty's way of protecting the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also this gave more time to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr, as we'll learn, the companion of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during this blessed migration.
So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, as we just mentioned, he accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam during this migration?
Yes. So after our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by these disbelievers without any of them noticing, then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached the cave of Thawr with Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and they stayed there for 3 days and three nights after leaving the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah and before proceeding on to the blessed city of Madinah al-Munawwara.
The immense bravery of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala, and what can one say about the love of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The scholars have mentioned that he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, meaning Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, carried Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam while he was going up the mountain to Ghar Thawr, to the cave of Thawr.
Not only that, the scholars say that when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu arrived to the cave of Thawr, Sayyidina Abu Bakr would not let the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter. Sayyidina Abu Bakr first entered the cave and made sure that there was no harmful thing within the cave. Made sure that there were no animals or no deadly poisonous snakes. There were some holes in that cave. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr tore parts of his blessed clothing to close off those holes. Not only that, there was one hole remaining. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu closed that hole with the heel
Allah
of his foot.
Allah.
This is all mentioned in the books of Sirah. Many other events took place on the way from Madinah al-Munawwara to the cave and then in the cave. But because of lack of time, and if we, you know, we could pick each one of these different events from this blessed journey, and we could do whole entire episodes, maybe even whole entire programs on different events from the blessed journey, from this blessed migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So did anybody from the non-believers, did they search for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
As I mentioned, there were many events, and inshallah now we will go into detail about the various events that took place on the remaining journey towards the blessed city of Madinah al-Munawwara.
And I think in the books you can also find the whole maps, right? Where the path that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the path that was blessed by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah. Everything you know, that gets associated with the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received that blessing. Alhamdulillah. When the kuffar of Makkah realized that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah without them noticing, they began searching for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody was able to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they were in the blessed cave of Thawr. After getting tired of searching, the kuffar of Makkah, they announced a reward of 100 camels for the person who captured the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was, you know, the kuffar trying their every attempt to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from reaching the blessed city of Madinah al-Munawwara. Now, this was a huge bounty in those times. And because of that, many of the people of Makkah, they began to search for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but once again to no avail. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were well on their way to the blessed city of Madinah al-Munawwara by this time. But there was a famed horseman of Makkah by the name of Suraka ibn Malik, and he caught up with the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And once he had caught up, he intended to attack the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his horse stumbled and he fell off of his horse. The thought of the prize of 100 camels drove him to attempt again to attack the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against him, which caused his horse to sink knee deep into the ground.
SubhanAllah. This was a prophetic miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
On witnessing this prophetic miracle of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Suraka became awestruck. He was amazed. Like, what just happened? Once he saw this miracle, he realized that he would never be able to catch the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he pleaded for safety. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen, mercy for all the world, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mercy upon him and made dua to Allah Almighty for the ground to release his horse. And the ground released his horse immediately after the dua of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Suraka was leaving after the ground had released his horse and he had received a guarantee of safety from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would turn back anyone that he met that was searching for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by telling them that I've searched for miles and miles without, you know, finding anybody. So as he was setting off on his return to Makkah, Suraka offered the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu some food and provisions for the journey, but they declined them. He was so impressed and amazed by the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, and especially after trying to attack the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then being granted safety, he turned everyone that he came across on his way back, everyone he encountered, he turned them back saying, there's nothing this way, no need to go on. So Suraka did not embrace Islam at that time, but he admired the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was greatly impressed by this miracle, this mu'jaza of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And eventually in the future, when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set up camp at Jirana, Suraka brought the document of safety which he had received from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the migration.
Allahu Akbar.
And he came with a large group of his tribesmen and he accepted Islam.
SubhanAllah. Before we continue anymore, let's listen to the praise of Rasulullah.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya اذن مل جائے گر مدینے کا اذن مل جائے گر مدینے کا اذن مل جائے گر مدینے کا مدینے
MashaAllah, Jazakallahu khairah. Let's continue where we left off. About
we were talking about Sayyidina Suraka radiallahu anhu. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "O Suraka, how will it be when you are given the bangles of Kisra, who was the king of Persia, to wear years later during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? Persia was conquered and the bangles of Kisra were brought to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He handed these bangles to Sayyidina Suraka radiallahu anhu and said, O Suraka, praise be to Allah Almighty who has granted you the bangles of Kisra to wear.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And
Alhamdulillah,
this. The ilmul ghaib of Rasulullah. When we talk about past, present or future, Quran tells us all. Right, mashallah, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam knew about the events that happened in the past and he was telling them what's going to happen in the future as well.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
What other events happened along the way to Medina?
On the second day of the journey, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the house of Marbad. Marbad was an old woman. So Marbad, she was an old woman who would sit on the edge of her camp offering food and water to the travelers who passed by. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wished to buy some food from her, but she had none to offer. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a weak she-goat, a female goat, at the side of the camp and asked if it gave milk. Marbad replied, "No. It's too weak to give any milk." The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, "Do you mind if I try?" And then after being given permission by Marbad, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Bismillah and touched the udders of the female goat. Now, immediately as the blessed hands of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into contact with the udders of that goat, her udders immediately swelled and became full of milk.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
That she-goat, that female goat, it gave so much milk. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to fill every one of the pots that Marbad had. Not only was the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam able to fill every pot that Marbad possessed, but they were also able to distribute the milk to the group until everyone was satiated. Everyone drank to their fill. On witnessing this mu'jiza, this miracle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha and her entire family accepted Islam. This was one event.
Another prophetic miracle of Rasulullah.
Another prophetic miracle and another event relating to the blessed migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Apart from this, there were others as well. Inshallah, I'll mention one more before we go into detail about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entrance into the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah. So that other event that I wanted to mention was that when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was confronted by Buraida Aslami, who advanced towards the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 70 other riders of the tribe of Banu Sahm. Now, imagine the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and not too many other people with him. 70 riders, they came to confront the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr before they entered the blessed city of Madinah al-Munawwarah. And they were fueled by the greed of the reward that had been offered by the Kuffar of Makkah. So Buraida, he had committed himself to capturing the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked who the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Muhammad, son of Abdullah, I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty and appearance of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such a profound effect on Buraida that he immediately embraced Islam, saying, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is my wish that you enter Madinah with a flag raised high.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Sayyidina Buraida radiallahu anhu untied his imamah, untied his turban, wrapped it around his spear, and walked ahead of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his flag bearer. On reaching Madinatul Munawwara, Sayyidina Buraida radiallahu anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where will you stay in Medina? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, my camel is guided by Allah Almighty. I will stay wherever she sits. And this, the reason why I wanted to mention this before the blessed entrance into Madinatul Munawwarah, this shows how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah.
And to this, the devotees of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they celebrate the Julus-e Milad, right? And following the actions of Sayyidina Buraida Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, raising the flags. Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
So that now the obvious question is, how did Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam enter Medina?
The people of Medina, they were already aware. They had received news of the arrival of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they had been desperately awaiting the arrival of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was to such an extent that even the women and the children of Medina would talk about the arrival of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And every day they would gather in the fields outside of Madinatul Munawwara
to welcome Rasulullah,
to welcome the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then when the sun would start, the heat of the sun would intensify, then they would return back to their homes. And they followed this routine every single day. And every day they'd come with, new hopes that, today is the day when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will arrive. And just like this, one day they went out and they waited to welcome the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then eventually, once the heat from the sun intensified, they returned back to their homes. When suddenly one of the descendants of the Bani Israel, he saw from his fort that a caravan of people was approaching. So he understood that this caravan must be that very caravan that the people of Medina have been awaiting. And he called out loudly, O people of Medina, the merciful caravan that you have been awaiting every day has arrived. Having heard this, the people of Madinatul Munawwara, the Ansar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they came out of their homes happily in order to welcome the final Prophet of Allah Almighty sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Then there's a whole narration about how the children welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the verse Tala al Badru alayna min thaniyatil wada'i.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was welcomed with much happiness, with the praise of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and alhamdulillah, we can't even imagine what kind of scene it would have been when the people of Medina, who have been awaiting the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for so many days, the peak of their happiness, and then the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arriving into the city, which has been mentioned for thousands of years in the previous scriptures, that this is where the final Prophet, the last and final Prophet of Allah Almighty, will migrate to this land. And the beloved Prophet has finally arrived
into
the land of Madinatul Munawwara.
My dear viewers upon the channel, alhamdulillah, in today's episode, we learned a lot about the blessed migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, events that led to migration, and what happened. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was on the path of migration when he entered Medina. Alhamdulillah, how Sayyidina Buraida Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu, embraced Islam, welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam entered Madinatul Munawwara with the army of Sayyidina Buraida Aslami, with a procession, with a flag in his blessed hands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin nabil kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah al-kareem, we'll see you next time with a new topic, with how the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was when he was blessing Madinatul Munawwara. Inshallah al-kareem. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The blessed life, with grace he walked a path so divine. The Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The echoes from